Everybody knows, I believe, what's going on in Israel. Over the last week, we saw Israel got attacked by a group called Hamas, who were Islamic terrorists who hate Israel and, by the way, also hate the United States. And yet, in the United States, we have college kids all over this world in the highest institutions. And when I say the highest, I'm talking about on a secular level, Harvard and schools like that, where we have students who are actually protesting for Hamas. Now, you understand, if you followed this in the news, you understand these people went into Israel and not only killed people, they killed people. Their directions, their instructions from their leadership was to find the elderly, the women, and the children. Kill the children, rape the women, kill the elderly, and kill any men that you come in contact with, except for some they could take back as hostages. Now, I know this is graphic. This is horrible. It's a horrible thing to hear. They burned babies alive. They cut their heads off. They did all kinds of stuff. That's the kind of people these are. They are demon possessed. And so Israel has a right to defend themselves. Well, what does this have to do with us? That's way over there, because Israel is a timepiece for us. We need to keep our eyes on what's going on in Israel all the time, because they're part of the signs of the times. Now, let me just say this. I want to read a quote for you. This is from Pastor Greg Laurie. Anybody know who Pastor Greg Laurie is? How many of you saw the movie, The Jesus Revolution? Okay. Pastor Greg Laurie, that's who the movie was about. You know, really the main figure of that movie was about, it was his life. And so he said this, and I believe he's right on target here. He said, who is Hamas? Well, they are a terrorist organization funded by Iran. That is true. That's not a secret. A spokesman for Iran, Ghazi Hamad, told the BBC that terrorist groups had received funding for the attack, according to the Wall Street Journal. And Iran, or some people call it Iran, has for a long time stated that their objective is to destroy Israel. They have also signaled that they are developing a nuclear weapon. In that post, they have threatened to, in their own words, wipe Israel off the map of the earth. Now, let me back up and say this, that a lot of people don't understand. Iran has a type of Islam called Shiite Islam. In their belief system, they have a Messiah, someone they believe is going to be a Messiah too. They call him the Mahdi. They believe that in order for the Mahdi to come, they have to set the stage for them. This is why they want a nuclear weapon. They have to set the stage for the Mahdi to come. And the way in their teaching they set the stage is to bring as much chaos and confusion and violence on the earth as possible. That when they can get the earth to that state, their Mahdi will come and be their savior. Okay. This is their belief system. It's one of the reasons they hate Israel. It's one of the reasons they hate us. Okay. So one leader of Iran said, they asked, is it possible for us to witness a world without America and Zionism? But you had best know that this slogan and this goal are altogether attainable. Now, this is the Iranian guy saying this, and surely can be achieved. The regime that is occupying Jerusalem must be wiped off the map. It's interesting how it always comes back to Jerusalem. The Bible predicted thousands of years ago that the end times event would revolve around Jerusalem, not San Francisco, not Los Angeles, not Moscow, not Paris, but Jerusalem. This tiny little city in this tiny sliver of land will play a key role in the events of the last days. It is the focal point of the end times events. It's amazing when you think about it, because in Zechariah 12, 3 through 4, God says, I will make Jerusalem like an intoxicating drink that makes the nearby nations stagger when they send their armies to besiege Jerusalem and Judah. On that day, I will make Jerusalem an immovable rock. All the nations will gather against it to try to move it, but they will only hurt themselves. Now, the irony is that in all of this, that the United States of America, through the Biden administration, gave $6 billion to Iran. Now, there was such an outcry over that. As soon as that money was released, Iran funded Hamas to attack Israel. That money came from us. So now, because a lot of conservative senators and congressmen rose up and said, you have to do something about this, so they refroze those assets. Okay. But what the presidential administration was saying right up front was, well, you know, that money is allocated to be used for other resources. They can't use that to fund terrorism. Now, come on. Now, look, my point's not to talk politics today, but we need to understand what's going on, okay? But if I want to buy a hot dog that costs, you know, $2, and you say, well, look, I'm going to give you $2, but I don't want you to use my $2 to buy that hot dog. You can only buy a salad with it. You say, no problem, I'll buy the salad. Well, how many of you know I can always reallocate my money however I want to? And by you giving me the $2, you've now empowered me to buy the hot dog, even if I tell you I'm not going to, right? That's how all this mess works, okay? It's the same way with the abortion industry. They say, well, you cannot use federal tax dollars to abort these children. They say, oh, we won't do that. We'll do that for other things, but we won't use any of that money to abort children. Well, how many of you know there's no way to track and trace that? Once you put money into the hands of people who do evil, they'll do whatever they want to do with it, right? So that's my point. There's a lot of deception going on. So Greg Laurie goes on to say to pay careful attention. He said, here's where students of Bible prophecy should pay attention. The Bible tells us in the end times that Israel would be scattered and regathered. This has happened, and this really was the sign that set the prophetic clock ticking. And that happened when? 1948, when Israel became a nation. But after Israel was regathered, the Lord said she would come under attack. Specifically in Ezekiel 37 and 38, you ought to go read those two chapters. The Bible speaks of the regathering of Israel, and then it speaks of a large force from her north attacking her. That force is identified as Magog. Well, who is Magog? No one can say with absolute certainty, but most Bible scholars and students believe that Magog is Russia. So here's the thing. I'm not going to read everything that he said, but we need to have our eyes open to what's going on. Understand that when Russia connects with Iran and connects with these other terrorist groups to come against Israel, when you see Russia actually getting actively involved, then I'm telling you it's a sign of the time. Now, here's something that a lot of people don't realize. When that attack happened, the leadership of Hamas was on the phone with Turkey, the president of Turkey. They were on the phone with the leader of Iran. They were on the phone with Putin of Russia. Now, they haven't actively jumped in to do it. Iran is funding it, but Russia hasn't done anything like that yet that we're aware of. But they are certainly on that side. We need to keep our eyes on when they start getting actively engaged. Let me tell you, you better look up because the end's drawing near. All right? What does that say? And why am I even saying all this? We don't have time to play church. We don't have time to just do our little religious stuff. We better get about doing what the Lord has called us to do, because there's not a lot of time left to do what needs to be done. There are 8 billion people in this world, most of who do not know Jesus. They're lost and they're going to split hell wide open while we sit around sucking our thumbs till Jesus comes. All right. Now, having said that, why don't you look at somebody and smile at them and say, hey, Jesus loves you, but you're not finished. Get about doing the work God gave you to do. Amen. We'll get into the message that I'm teaching. All right. But I want everybody to be aware of what's going on here. You know, we simply cannot ignore it. So we've been talking about when God speaks to us. And I think especially right now, this is so, so important. We have to be able to discern the voice of God. There are thousands of voices out there that are speaking, even many that are call themselves church or Christians and so on and so forth. They're speaking, but it's not the voice of God speaking. There's a lot of deception out there. And so this is based on the fact that Jesus commanded his disciples to hear God's voice. It's not an option. He's saying, you've got to hear God's voice. Why? Because if I can't discern the voice of God from the voice of the enemy, how will I know what to do, when to do it, what to say, when to say it, right? So Jesus said that his sheep know his voice. God let us know that his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways, right? And so because his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, that doesn't mean we can't get his thoughts. That just simply means that we've got to get outside of our natural limited thinking in order to see what God is saying. All right. And so we're going to briefly run through and just review what we've been talking about. We talked about the fact that you should test what you hear, that when we are being spoken to, when we hear a voice, that voice could be from in our own mind. It could be from the news. It could be from a parent. It could be from a pastor. It could be from a school teacher. It could be from an employer. It could be a friend. Right. But there are all kinds of voices out there. We need to test what we hear to see whether or not it is really something that God is speaking to our lives. So we said, number one, that when God speaks to us, it'll always honor Christ. Always. Okay. Never will somebody who's supposedly speaking something they believe God spoke to you dishonor Christ. And I'll tell you something else too. You know, when people are taking the name of Christ in vain, I'm not listening to their counsel. I'm certainly not listening to what they have to say, especially if there's any kind of direction in it, right? So when God speaks to us, it will always honor Christ. Now, I'm running through this very fast because we've already taught on all of these, but the second one is when God speaks to us, it'll always be consistent with his word. If it's not consistent with his word, it doesn't come from God. There's a lot of people that say a lot of things that sound somewhat spiritual, but it's not consistent with God's word and what God says. So the problem is so many people, even sitting in churches, do not know God's word because they never bother to read God's word. I encourage everybody, read through the entire thing. Just read through it. Don't, even if you don't stop and study every little thing or understand every little thing, read through it. Get with somebody else. Read through it and then go back through and begin to look at it. And what you'll see is a lot of things that you don't understand as you're reading through the Word of God will begin to clear itself up because the Bible itself begins to interpret itself. Things begin to make sense. Oh, this ties to this. Oh, okay, okay. But when God speaks to us, it will always be consistent with his word. If God, again, I used this example last time. When God, you know, somebody says, well, I believe God wanted me to go blow up that abortion clinic. No, he did. That wasn't God, right? God's not going to violate his own word. So does he want you to pray? Absolutely. Does he want you to stand against those things? Absolutely. But he didn't say go murder a bunch of people to do it, right? So God, by the way, on that note, God does raise up governments, and there are times when governments, God has authorized them to use the sword, so to speak, to deal with people who are not abiding by the law and they're hurting and harming other people. You know, God raises up militaries to save the world from people like Adolf Hitler and Hamas and all these things like this. So God does raise people up. Doesn't mean that there will never be violence, but God raises up that authority to deal with those things. So again, when he speaks, it'll always agree with his word. Now, number three, when God speaks, it will many times conflict with human wisdom and the human will. And again, we spent some time talking about this, but man, when God speaks, you got to understand that his thoughts are above our thoughts. So sometimes when God speaks to us, it's not going to make sense to us. Like, why would I do that? That makes no sense. So we have examples in the scripture. For instance, when the guy, you remember the story, when the guy is out there cutting wood with an axe, a borrowed axe, and the axe head flies off and goes into the water. All right, remember that story? Well, what do you do? Well, I would say, you know, go dive in there and see if you can find that axe head maybe. But that's not what the prophet said. God speaking to the prophet, what's he telling him to do? Go cut a stick and throw it in the water. The axe head will just swim up to it. Like, right, God, you just won't. This has to be a joke, right? All through the scripture, you see things like that. Now, it happened, right? But all through the scripture, you see things like that. Why? Because God's thoughts are not our thoughts. They're higher than ours. And so God many times will speak something to us that goes beyond human wisdom and the human will. And here's the thing. God sees everything. So he knows what's going on all around. And so sometimes God will, instead of telling you what you want to hear, he'll say, no, I need you to do this. And why is that? Because he's working on something over here to try to make the right connection to make it all work. right? It doesn't make sense sometimes, some of the things that he tells us. All through the scripture, it's like that. You know, the lady that was, you know, her and her son had a little bit of flour and a little bit of oil left. And she tells the prophet when he comes by, look, me and my son, we got a little oil, we got a little flour, we're going to make us a little patty cake, and then we're going to eat it and die. That's it, it's over. And so the prophet says, well, yeah, okay, but before you do that, use your oil and flour to make me one, right? And doesn't that sound just like them greedy preachers, right? But there was a breakthrough waiting for that woman that she could not see, but that God could see. And when she obeyed God, when it made no sense, all of a sudden something supernatural happens. It opens up. And the Bible says that not only did they have plenty of oil and flour, but God literally blessed them to a point where she probably fed her entire neighborhood for a long time. She had everything she needed, right? But it took doing something that doesn't make sense. And again, I love what Pastor Mike Melay says. God wants to do things in your life that take you to places in your walk with Him that will make your brain mad for 6 months because it didn't think of it. Because we want to think of it and be the hero. How many of you have ever saw something really, really cool and you thought, you know, somebody else came up with this idea or this, you know, invention or whatever, and you thought, man, why didn't I think of that? How many of you ever had something like that? I remember hearing a story of the man who thought of the chip clip. Everybody know what a chip clip is? The little clip you put on the top of your potato chip bag? I remember hearing a story about that. The man got tired of trying to roll up that bag and it not, you know, staying closed and getting his potato chip stale. So he was a Christian man. He asked the Lord to give him an idea. God gave him the idea of the chip clip. Now, this man testified and gave God the glory for it. God gave the man the idea of a chip clip. The man became a multimillionaire because of a chip clip. Now, anybody knows, you could have just went and got a clothespin. But no, he had this thing he called the chip clip and sold millions of them, right? So I believe God can give people ideas like that. But you know what? When I first heard that, I remember thinking, why didn't I think of that, right? There's a lot of things like that. So the truth of the matter is God has wisdom we don't have. And if we'll bother to ask Him, I believe He wants to give it to His children. Okay. Number four, when God speaks to us, it will challenge your faith. It'll challenge your faith. And again, I believe that. Why does it challenge our faith? Because when God speaks to us, it's bigger than what we can see in the natural. So you have to use your faith. You have to involve your faith. You have to come to the place of saying, God, my mind doesn't understand it or comprehend it, but I believe you. I trust you. I know your word cannot fail. I trust you. That's one of the reasons, like I've said, I don't have a problem believing for healing and those kind of things because I know what God's word has said about it and I trust Him. But I'll tell you, those things, they take us to a place that's beyond what is natural to us. But if you're never willing to allow your faith to engage, because how many of you know, you don't even need faith for something you can do. Faith is needed for that which I can't do, right? I don't need faith to do something I can do. So again, when God speaks to us, it'll challenge your faith, but also the very core or source of faith is God's word, all right? Okay, so now we're going to get to number five, which when God speaks to us, it will find confirmation with spiritually mature. I want you to know, sometimes God will speak things to us. Again, like I said, that don't make sense. It's beyond what we can understand. But God will confirm. There have been times in our life when we had major decisions to make. And thank God, we didn't move without confirmation. And I believe that God puts spiritually mature people in our lives to give us confirmation. You know, here, let me tell you what happens. Sometimes people want to make decisions and do what they want to do. And they may even want to put God's name on it and say, I think this is what God wants me to do. But they're not going to seek confirmation with spiritually mature people because they don't want somebody to tell them no. And so they'll just live in this delusion that somehow it's just between them and God, but they don't want anybody to tell them no. You need somebody in your life that's willing to tell you no. One of the greatest things that I learned from my pastor, Pastor Mike, one of the greatest things I learned is when I heard him say, you need somebody in your life who's not impressed with you. You need somebody in your life that don't think you're all that in a bag of chips. You need somebody in your life that's willing to tell you the truth, even if they hurt your feelings. You need somebody in your life that's willing to tell you no when you desperately just want to hear yes. We need that. You know why? It keeps us from doing stupid things, right? That's one of the greatest lessons I learned from him. And believe me, there have been many times I've gone to him, you know, looking for confirmation. Pastor Mike, I believe this is what I'm supposed to do, but I felt like I needed to talk to you about it. Now, the number one question he's always going to ask me is, are you telling me, do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt the Holy Spirit told you to do that? That's number one. If I don't get past the number one question, the conversation's over, right? Now, if I dare tell him, I know the Holy Spirit told me, then he's going to ask me a few more questions to make sure that the Holy Spirit told me, and he'll give what direction he believes the Lord has given him, right? I appreciate that. Man, that keeps me from shipwrecking, right? I am so thankful for that. But we all need somebody in our lives that are willing to give us a no when we just desperately want nothing but a yes. And so there are spiritually mature people that God puts in our lives, if we will allow them to speak into our lives, that we desperately need to hear from. So there were times when, you know, I'll tell you, when God moved me to Bible college and then my wife to Bible college, when God moved us from Bible college to serve in the home church that we were in, all of those things had to be, it was from a word from God, and we had to have confirmation on all of those. When we moved from that church to go serve in another church, it had to come with a word from God followed by confirmation, even though we thought we heard from God. Over and over again, God would do that. When we came to pastor this church, it was followed by a word from God with confirmation. And we had learned enough to know we ain't moving without that confirmation, right? So it's foolish. Now, let me read you a couple of my favorite scriptures here out of Proverbs. I preached a whole entire message on scriptures like this. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20 says, "Whoever walks with the wise becomes wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm." And then my all-time favorite, I rejoiced when I saw this in the scripture. I rejoiced. I said, God, I can actually read this out loud in church. Proverbs 12:1, "Whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but he who hates reproof is," everybody say it with me, "stupid." I was so giddy and happy. I was like, God, I can literally stand in the pulpit and tell people that they're stupid. If they're not going to love discipline and they're not going to receive reproof, correction, Bible says, I'm stupid. Now, I know some kids will say, "Ooh, you're not supposed to say that word." Well, it's right there. All right. So when I believe I've heard from God, especially for a major decision, again, I look for confirmation from those who I know have godly wisdom and can discern God's voice as well. People that have served God longer than me, who know things I don't know, I want to hear from them. I've seen many people wreck their lives. I knew a guy, this guy graduated at the top of his class from the same Bible college I went to. This guy, when he got out of college, he graduated at the top of his class. I mean, straight A student. But had a little bit of pride and arrogance there, was going to do things his way. And I'll never forget him telling me the story later after his life and marriage and family was shipwrecked. He said, you know, he opened up a map and he said, "I told God, God, wherever I put my finger on this map, I know this is where you want me to go." And I'll never forget. And he said he put his finger on the map and he, you know, landed in a particular city, moved his family to that particular city, and his family came under all kinds of destruction. His kids became drug addicts and lost and gangs and all kinds of stuff. And years later, after all the destruction was gone, God had to humble that man. And I'll never forget hearing that man through tears tell me his story and say, "I did not hear from God. I arrogantly told God what I was going to do, and I didn't seek anyone else's confirmation, even though I had spiritual authorities in my life who were telling me no. I did what I wanted to do, and I've destroyed my family." Man, let me tell you, that's heavy. I remember thinking, God, I never want to do that. I don't want to be that stupid. So again, there should be people in your life who serve as what I call traffic lights, that starting with spiritual authorities that God has placed in your life. For children, it starts with the authority of your parents. So not that you need people's permission, because how many of you know I can do whatever I want to do? How many of you know you can do whatever you want to do. You can rebel against the authorities in your life and you can do whatever you want to do, but that doesn't mean the outcome's going to be very good. Even the Apostle Paul says, hey, look, everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. All right. So yeah, I can go do whatever I want to do, but I'm telling you, without taking this step, understanding when we're in hearing the voice of God, that God speaks through spiritually mature people that he puts in our lives. And we are a fool to not seek that confirmation. And we're a fool to not heed it when it comes. So now, before all of that, if you haven't done this, I will tell you, just like my pastor tells me, the first thing you need to do is you need to be absolutely sure in your heart that the Holy Spirit spoke this to you, whether through the written word or through prayer or whatever, but that the Holy Spirit spoke that to you. If you don't know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Holy Spirit spoke it to you, you don't move. You don't act on it unless you absolutely know that and then get confirmation with spiritually mature people. When Pastor Cindy and I wanted to get married, can I tell you, I was ready to get married. In my mind, man, it's time, right? I wanted to get married, and I'll never forget going to Brother Holton, Pastor Holton, who's, you know, he's passed away now, the pastor I grew up under. And I remember going to Pastor Holton, and he absolutely broke our hearts. You know how? He didn't give me a yes when I wanted a yes. Instead, he told me what the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And you know what? I didn't like it, but I did heed it. And this is what he told me. We wanted to get married, and we gave him a date. We believe this is when we want to get married. We're in agreement, right? And Pastor Holton says, you know, he said, I see a great big X. He said, when I think about this, I take this before the Lord, I see a great big X. It's not time. He said, now, Dwayne, you can do what you want to do. You can go find somebody else to marry you, but your pastor's not going to do it. It's not time. Can I tell you, that is not what I wanted to hear. And it's not what Cindy wanted to hear. But thank God we listened, because boy, we went through a time that, I mean, I think she gave my engagement ring back to me 3 times, you know, but in that span. And boy, we had some things to work out. There were some things God had to do in both of us to prepare us, or it could have been a terrible situation. And then when we approached him again in humility, Pastor Holton said, I see a yes. I see a yes now. And so we were married now, you know, here we are, right? So, but the point of the matter is, we could have pushed and done what we wanted to do, but I had enough honor and respect for the authority that God put in my life that even though I wanted it, I respected what he said. Amen? Even though my feelings were hurt. All right. So in significant decisions, after seeking the Lord, after believing you hear from the Holy Spirit, seek the spiritually wise. And not just someone, again, who you know always agrees with you, but somebody who's willing to hurt your feelings if you need it. And I thank God he's put people in my life like that. He's put a pastor in my life that's willing to do that. He's put a wife in my life that's willing to do that, right? If you young people looking for somebody to marry, don't find somebody that always agrees with everything you think. And so find somebody that's willing to tell you no. Find somebody that's willing to tell you wrong when you're wrong, right? Find somebody that wants to hear from the Lord just like you do. Amen? I thank God for that. We've got a lot left to go. These are important. Again, right now, it's especially important for us that we hear from God, that we learn to discern his voice, that we know when he's speaking and when he's leading us. So again, we've been doing this every week, but again, if you say, you know what, I want my ear to be tuned a little bit better to God than it has been. I really want to be able to discern when God's speaking a little more. I'm just going to ask you, just raise your hands, you know, sign of surrender, right? Saying, I give up. And just raise your hands and we're just going to pray for you right now. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you have made yourself available to us. I thank you, Father God, you don't leave us without counsel. But Father, I thank you that you make your counsel available to us. Lord, I pray, forgive us when we've arrogantly pushed through because we wanted something so bad that we were not willing to hear from you or to hear from wise counsel that you've put in our lives. Lord, for our young people, I pray that they be young people who seek your word first, seek your counsel first, Lord, not have to bring all kind of destruction into their life and then have to learn those lessons the hard way. Father, I pray, help them, Lord, to be able to receive proper instruction from the authorities you've placed in their life. Father, for all of us, we know we all need that, no matter how young or how old we are. And Father, I'm asking you, help us to tune our ear to you, to hear from you, Lord, to do what you want us to do, because we know that's where true life is. Father, help us to set our hearts on what pleases you. Lord, your word says that you give us the desires of our hearts, Lord. We know that that means that you don't just fulfill those desires, but you literally give us your desires. And then as we believe you and trust you, you fulfill those desires in our lives. Father, I pray, give us your desires. Lord, help us to want what you want. Help us to love what you love. Help us to hate what you hate. Father, I pray, help us to open our spiritual ears to hear from you in a greater way than we've ever heard before. Lord, speak to us through your word. Speak to us, Father God, through those who hear from you. Speak to us, God, as we seek you in prayer. Speak to us, O God, through those that are wiser and older and spiritually mature that you've placed in our lives. Speak to us, Father. We thank you, Father. You've made these great things available to us. Lord, I pray this week, help us to tune our ear to you. Lord, this week, no matter what we're doing, wherever we're going, help us to hear from you, what it is you want us to do, what it is you want us to say. We want to be like Jesus, who said, I only say what I hear my Father say, and I only do what I see my Father do. That's the kind of life we want to live. So I thank you for that. May your blessings be upon this people, Lord. I thank you that they are here today because you've appointed for them to be there today, to be here. And I thank you, Father, that they'll walk out with something that is life-changing. And I pray that you make your presence known to each one. Cause the word that came from you to go down into their hearts, take root, and ultimately bear kingdom fruit. Thank you, Father. Thank you. In Jesus' name.